everyone, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and icon, Harry Styles.
This week in episode 13, we are going to do something new and hopefully fun, draft our Love on Tour set list, which we will explain later in the podcast.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
Oh my god. The hours and hours that I've been spending on YouTube looking for old Live on Tour footage to put in my master post thread of videos of Harry waving flags during Live on Tour. Nobody asked me to do this. It is a labor of love, and I'm doing it and vaguely complaining about it to people, but also I really love it. As Key knows, just before we started recording this, I had been digging for this footage of Harry in Japan, and like I couldn't find it, and then it was because it was like at the cap of the show, and like I showed it to Key. He takes the rainbow flag from the audience and he just walks away with it, and he just takes it home, like full wow. Unhinged behavior.
Yeah, you've been putting a lot of work in. Mm-hmm. And I admire your tenacity.
Thank you. What do you blame him for, Key?
Yeah, so I blame Harry for my preemptive anxiety at the media industrial complex and the Take industrial complex covering Don't Worry Darling and My Policeman. So as will be revealed throughout this podcast, I listen to a lot of like entertainment news media, like podcasts and like whatever. And I like doing that. I like being up on like entertainment news. I like hearing people talk about movies. Like, you know, even if I don't see all the movies, like I enjoy, you know, listening to podcasts about it and things like that. And that's all well and good until I realized that pretty soon those people are going to be talking about movies that Harry is in. And I just, you know, it's like that fear, like sometimes you like follow somebody on Twitter and then they mention Harry and it's like, oh no, because it's probably going to be positive, but like there's the chance that they're going to say something you don't like. And it's obviously their right to say whatever they want. And I would want media critics and the Take industrial complex to be honest, but I, you know, I'm a sensitive person and I want the movies to be good. I want Harry to be good in them. And the thought of like media companies and people and podcasts like who don't normally talk about Harry, like talking about Harry is just a lot for me to process. So because of the Oscars and, you know, entertainment news this past week, that's something that's been on my mind.
Well, we have a very interesting time ahead of us.
We do indeed. So yeah, speaking of movies and the movies that Harry is going to be in, we're gonna do some news this week. I feel like it's been a while since, not that we do that many podcasts, like it's not like we podcast every week anyway, but I feel like it's been a little while since we've actually covered Harry-related news, so we're going to start out by doing that, and then we're going to get into the setlist draft. So this is something that I'm really excited about. It's kind of a new thing for us. It's a new idea. Hopefully, if it works and you guys think it's fun, we'll do it again with like other Harry-related things. Like maybe drafting his outfits or something like that. But yeah, I'll explain it later in the show. But yeah, hopefully that's something that you guys enjoy.
Don't worry if you don't understand like football or sports or anything. We got you. I don't either.
And neither do I. Somehow I was, like, you know,
yes.
Raised in a house of jocks, so I'm like very familiar with like fantasy sports like terminology. Not that like a draft is like so specific to that, but yeah, we'll explain it all later. But yes. Yeah, we're gonna go through and make our set lists, and it's gonna be competitive. It's gonna be maybe hopefully kind of cutthroat. So hopefully that's a good time.
It'll be an unsafe space for us, but a very safe space for you, as people who we assume most of you do not watch sports. So we got you. Don't worry about this. Now let's get into the gay news. Do you want to start off with film news?
Yeah, so we're going to start out with My Policeman. So My Policeman is currently filming in the United Kingdom. So
yay.
Yeah, so Harry, you know, as we said in our Lights Up episode, which, by the way, thank you guys so much for all the love and conversation around that. I got a ton of great feedback. It seems like you guys really enjoyed that episode. So as that was something that was really special to me and that we prepped for a lot, it was really nice to hear that feedback. So, you know, as we said in that episode, Harry has not exactly been up to a lot. It's not exactly like this time last year. And part of the reason why that is because he's filming a movie. So that's something that we haven't been seeing much of. Like, we hit there's not been any set photos of Harry, but there has been some set photos of other people like David Dawson and a few other people that are in the movie. Mm-hmm. So we just figured we'd mention that's on our radar as something to look out for, that's kind of what Harry's up to at the moment.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm very excited for that. For this next one, so as we all presumably know, Harry Styles was on SNL a year and a half ago, and he did a bunch of, like, really fun, just, like, goofy photos and stuff. And so, what was it, like, last week or a couple weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Time is a flat circle now. These photographs started leaking onto Twitter of Harry in a mermaid costume. So the first one that leaked was him wearing, you know, an Ariel wig and the tail and, you know, bra that's the shells and waving champagne in the air. And so I link it to Key, and Key started mansplaining to me that it couldn't possibly be real.
Oh no, you're gonna bring this up. I didn't think that when I prepped the news for this week that this is where this conversation would go.
And so I said, no, this is real. And he was like, no, it's Photoshopped. I know even what photo set this face comes from.
It really looked like his face from the photo shoot that he did with the face.
It does look like that.
Before the Fine Line era, it really looks like that.
It looks like that because he is the same person.
It's true. But also, what I also will say is that part of the reason why I think it was so easy for me to believe that this first photo is Photoshopped is that it has that thing that, like, a lot of the mm-hmm. SNL photos have where it's just, like, more edited than it needs to be.
Right.
Like, this is a weird thing that SNL does. They've done it for both of his photo shoots. There's this mm-hmm. one particular photo from this past SNL photo shoot, and then one from his last time at SNL where they just, like, take his under eye area and, like, majorly
alter it, yeah,
so then he just, like, looks like an alien. Like, I don't know why they do that. I like the really good photos. I love the SNL kind of chaos photo shoot aesthetic, but it's just a strange editing choice. Yeah. So I think there's a little bit of that element as well too, where this photo is just, like, it's edited enough that I looked at it and was like, oh, that could be an edit, but mm-hmm. I was wrong and I will take that L.
Yeah, so they started there were, like, three other ones, and it was very, very fun. If you guys haven't seen them, go check them out. I'm sure that you have seen them, though, and seen them everywhere. If you're into Harry Styles enough to listen to a Harry Styles podcast, you see these photos. We love them.
I'm sure you have. I love the trash mermaid aesthetic of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and then I love, too, the connection with the But Daddy, I Love Him shirt, which is a quote from mm-hmm. The Little Mermaid. So now I'm like, is Harry, like, a big fan of the movie The Little Mermaid, like the Disney original? Is this, like, a sly kind of cheeky reference to the casting rumors about him playing Prince Eric, and then he was like, oh, I'll pop up in this Ariel costume, mm-hmm. like, is that what's going on? Like, I don't know, all those ideas I found very cute.
I feel like the end joke has to be that I wasn't in The Little Mermaid because I wanted to play Ariel instead, and I agree.
Love that.
I think he would have been great at being Ariel. And Hans Christian Andersen, if he had been born today, he would have written it as a gay story. So Harry's not wrong.
Love it.
Whatever. So
love the photos.
Yeah.
So next we have the Gucci Beloved campaign, which was photographed by Harmony Korine. I hope I'm saying that name correctly. And yeah, so this was something that we got on April 23rd. It's a promotional campaign for a couple of Gucci bags. So we got a video of this, which it's a part of this campaign, which is Harry on a talk show with James Corden kind of being interviewed. And the central concept is, like, you know, it's kind of like this performative talk show scene where they're laughing and, you know, and saying they're friends or whatever, and then they go backstage and it's kind of awkward. And mm-hmm. So I have a little quote from Alessandro Michele here, who's the creative director of Gucci. He said, "We decided to show the concept of Beloved in an ironic way, with handbag investments serve as milestones in most people's lives." Michelle, this is the quote from the interview, "intended to give Gucci's best-selling products the same star treatment received by the celebrities who typically carry them." He said, "There were two stars, the bag and the actual talent, a game of cross-references between the two great protagonists." So that I thought was kind of like an interesting description. That's not so much what I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
I got more of, you know, that dissonance between, you know, the talk show environment, what celebrities you know, act like when they're performing in front of a crowd, and then the backstage of it all, and kind of like how fake it is, which is just like an interesting idea to sell a purse. Like,
it really is.
It was, that was kind of strange. I think it fits well. I was looking up before we recorded about Harmony Korine and like the different things that that director has done, and that kind of fits well in with that to me. And I think it's well shot. Like, the video itself, I like the kind of like 70s talk show aesthetic of it. It fits well with the wardrobe. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting offbeat concept for an ad for this line. But yeah, thought it was interesting. What about you?
Alessandro Rochelle seems to give the people that he kind of hires on to do stuff a lot of artistic freedom to just do whatever. He'll be like, oh, Gaston Saint, you make a lot of good movies. Just do whatever and put these clothes on people and then you have a thing. Is that cool? Here you go. I feel like I got that vibe too from this campaign. Yeah, I don't know. I found the video to be interesting but quite uncomfortable. Like, I couldn't watch it a second time. But then my entire timeline started trending his smile, and I was like, it was creepy. But everybody's like, oh my god, he's like so cute. And I'm like, so this is gonna be the don't worry, darling Twitter. Everybody's gonna at Harry - Styles, kill me, bestie. You know.
Oh god. So. I can see it now. Yeah, I think, you know, it obviously, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. It's it's meant to be. I thought, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting too because, like, it's weird because James Corden and Harry are actually friends. So there's this weird dynamic where, like, they're in the video itself, them as like the character versions of them are pretending to be friends in front of an audience, and then they go backstage and it's revealed that they're not friends, but then the real Harry and James Corden are friends. And, like, that's not me buying into, like, some parasocial thing because I've saw Harry
interview by James Corden. Like, they're out. Yeah.
Yeah. They, like, go on vacation together. They're, like, friends, you know. So that's interesting. And it's not an element that was there. I will out myself as, like, I didn't watch the other promotional videos for this campaign. I'm not, like, I'm interested in this because Harry was in it and because I was, like, oh, let's see how he looks, whatever. I'm not, like, invested in Gucci as a brand really at all.
No, me neither.
I'm invested in Gucci purses, so I wasn't here to, like, watch the other ads. But, yeah, so that I thought was an interesting element of it. I love the jeans that he's in. I kind of dug. Everybody was, you know, talking about how Harry, you know, looks like the mom who kills the husband in the movie and then comes out in that, you know, big fluffy expensive coat or dress or whatever. It is like, what are you talking about, my husband died? It's like,
how is it that I described it on the shit post blog that I have? What was it like? Well, I have a side shit post Twitter that got an unexpected number of likes on Harry Styles will play the guitar on HS3.
Yeah, plug it. What's the handle?
It's at HS3 updates.
Yeah, we love the hyper specific update accounts that keep cropping up. And by love, I mean I'm exasperated by them. So that's kind of what led to the shitpost update account.
Yeah, I started making a shitpost update account because I just I couldn't handle it anymore. And so, yeah, one of my descriptions was new Harmony Korine takes a picture of Harry looking like he won the mansion in a celebrity divorce settlement that rocked the nation.
That's exactly what it is. That's a much better way to put it than what I said. Yeah, and I don't, like, generally this is an aesthetic of, like, fashion that I don't love. Like, I don't love fur, really, but yeah, I dig the jeans. I think it works totally with the aesthetic that they're going for. Like, the interview, he's supposed to be a celebrity on the show, so he's not, like, wearing this, you know, as Harry Styles or whatever. It's like, this is very much the celebrity, the performance. So in that way, I think it worked really well. I enjoyed that aspect of it. So yeah, so kind of like, I thought briefly when Harry Styles Daily, which is like the biggest Harry update account, obviously tweeted out the photos from this campaign. They were kind of asking, like, which of the Gucci campaigns that Harry's done so far do you like the best? So I thought that could just briefly, we could segue into that discussion. So my favorite by far is the one with the animals, where he has, well, I guess there's one with a chicken, so not that one, but the one with the baby lamb and the pig, like, yeah, that one good. Is like my favorite of the Gucci campaigns. What about you?
Oh god, it's hard, but I would say the one in the middle here with the pink suit.
Yeah, so that's with the
Yeah, and he's like, you know, he's doing all this
swan.
Like, yeah, the swan, and like he looks like he's in the room of requirement and shit. Yeah, that's great.
Yes, yeah, I like that one a lot too.
But I do care for the baby animals, and sometimes I do look at those photos and imagine myself as one of the baby animals.
I just love, my favorite's the one where he's carrying a lamb across his shoulders, because it's just like very Jesus, and it's mm-hmm. just like, I just enjoy that imagery a lot.
I just feel like if he was carrying me and I was an animal, I would be extremely safe in his arms. Like, if I were that chicken in the one Gucci campaign, I would just be, oh my god, I would just be so snug right in there.
Yeah, that definitely checks out.
Yeah. And I'm normal for having this fantasy, so.
If only I was the chicken in Harry Styles' arms in the Gucci campaign. And that is a very normal thought that we all have had, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Leave me alone. Okay, so finally, we're going to talk about Chloe Zhao, 2-time Academy Award-winning director Chloe Zhao of Nomadland and Eternals fame. Her stylist said, I did a photo shoot with her for Tatler Asia. She's amazing. Her favorite 2 things in her closet was a Harry Styles t-shirt and a Harry Potter t-shirt. And she said, can I please just wear these? So Harry's in Eternals, right?
I think so. I think so. And if he's not, he will definitely appear in another Chloe Zhao project in the future. Mm-hmm. Watch the Oscars. The Oscars happened fairly recently before we recorded this podcast. Very happy for Chloe Zhao. I really enjoyed Nomadland, the movie. Me too. Would recommend. And I just love when Harry's are successful. Mm-hmm. So and she's a confirmed Harry after this. We were kind of wondering, like, or at least I was, like, she'd been pictured, we've talked about in the podcast before, you know, she's been pictured in a Treat People With Kindness shirt mm-hmm. before. And so I think the running thought was that maybe, you know, Harry has some cameo in Eternals, because there are, like, if you missed the last time we talked about this on the podcast, there's, like, some other contributing evidence that have led this to be a rumor that exists out there. And so people thought, because she was wearing his merch, that maybe he went to the set to film the cameo and gave mm-hmm. her his merch, because he does that a lot. And now I just think that, yes, maybe it was that, but also she's just, like, a fan of his work, which I think is even cooler. Yeah, so definitely if he's not in Eternals, I feel like they'll find a way to work together at some point in the future, but I just thought this was a very cute quote from her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to our main segment, Harry Styles Love on Tour Setlist Draft.
Yes, so I'm really excited for this, and I hope that you guys enjoy it, and I hope that it's fun for us to do as well. So I'm going to start off by kind of like explaining the idea, what this even is in the first place. And yeah, so basically we're going to draft Harry's songs. We have a bunch of different categories for this into a set list, and we're each going to end up with 2 different set lists. So this idea came from somebody called Evan Valence, who submitted this as an idea for the podcast The Big Picture, which is a podcast on the Ringer podcast network that I listen to and would highly recommend. And on that podcast on the Ringer, they do different movie drafts. So like, let's say they take the year 2010 and they will draft the movies of that year, meaning like it's like a sport, fantasy sports style draft. There's different categories like comedy, horror, drama, animation, etc. And they'll go through and they'll like draft the movies of the year, and they'll see like, okay, who has the best like slate of movies that they drafted from that year. So that's kind of where I got this idea. So credit to them, the Ringer Podcast Network, and credit to Evan Valence for sending this idea to them. I'm sure that none of those people will ever have any idea that a Harry Styles podcast put that into practice. But if they ever do find out, thank you for your idea.
Thank you, bestie.
So what the basic idea is we're going to go back and forth and pick different Harry songs in different categories to compete to end up with the best set list that we can. Mm-hmm. So this is, like I said before, based on things like fantasy sports drafts, etc. So a key component also for you to understand is that once one of us chooses a song, that song's not going to be available for the other to choose, right? So there's no like songs that we're going to double up on. There's a cap on how many songs we will end up with from each category. So like how it would work in a fantasy sports draft, you might have 3 running backs. And yes, I did Google how many running backs you might have on a fantasy sports team, because I would not know that information going into this. And in our draft, you're going to have, for example, one of the categories is non-One Direction covers. So, like, songs that Harry has covered that are not One Direction songs. So you might have three of those in that category. So by the end of the draft, we should each have three non-1D covers of Harry's in our set list. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So does that make sense? And then I'll kind of break down the categories.
Yeah, and then after we choose our songs, we're going to order them in the best order possible, and then we're going to debate whose is better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the categories that we'll be doing are One Direction covers, of which we will have two each. So by the end of the draft, we'll each end up with two One Direction covers on our set list. Non-One Direction covers, like I said before, we're going to have three each of those, and one of those can be a wild card. So, like, any song ever to exist, basically. So two are going to be ones he's covered before. One can be any song, a wild card. The next category is songs off of HS1. So we're going to draft almost all of those. So there's going to be, we're going to end up with four songs each from that album. So that should leave two songs from that album that don't end up getting drafted. The next category is songs off of Fine Line. Again, we're going to draft almost the whole album. We're going to end up with five songs each off of Fine Line. So that should leave two on the table. And finally, our last category is going to be unreleased songs. So then we're going to do three of those each. So that includes Anna and Medicine, the unreleased songs from his last tour. And the exciting part is that it's going to include any songs that we know about that haven't been released. So that could be like Baby Honey, which is from his last era. It could be Isabella, which is from this current Fine Line era of unreleased songs. So this kind of imagines that Harry is going to play them for the first time on Harry Styles Love on Tour like he did the last time. This is going to end up with both of us having a set list of 17 songs. That should be how the math works out. So if you're listening to this episode, maybe you want to play along, pick the 17 songs in these categories that you would want the most. But if you're listening for us, we're going to kind of keep an eye on the math, keep an eye on how many songs from each category we've picked so that we end up with that amount of songs from each category and 17 songs overall in our set list. So other important information for you to know is that we aren't going to pick in category order. So I could choose for my first pick, like let's say, so we're going to flip a coin to determine which of us picks first. So let's say I end up winning that and I pick first. My first pick could be in the One Direction covers category. And then Gray, in response to that, could pick from the HS1 songs category. And we're just kind of go like that, and we'll keep an eye on how many songs we've picked from each category and then just kind of go from there. Like Gray already said, then we're going to order our songs, kind of present our set list to you all, and then I would thought we would have you all decide which one is better by voting in a Twitter poll on who has the best set list. So we're going to wait a couple days after this podcast is released to post that Twitter poll, just because, you know, that way people aren't listening to this podcast already knowing all the songs that we're going to pick. That would make it a little bit less fun. But, you know, a couple days after this is released, you should be able to go to our Twitter and vote on whose is better. Yeah, so that's the general idea. I hope that all made sense. And yeah, I'm really excited to get into it. Just a warning, preemptively, I am a fairly competitive person, so I'm going into this with that knowledge. Gray, how are you feeling going into this?
I'm going to destroy you.
Wow, strong words that are hopefully will not be the case, because I'm bringing a passion. I'm bringing specific love for specific songs that I claim as mine that I will be angry if you take from me. That's the energy that I'm bringing into today's draft. Like I said, let us know if you do find this fun, and maybe we'll institute it for some other categories. But yeah, let's get to our Harry Styles Love on Tour setlist draft. So we're going to flip this coin to see who goes first. So I'm going to have you call it. Do you want heads or tails?
You have to do it on your phone, though, and show me to make sure that I know that you're being truthful.
I can send you a photo of it on my computer if you want to see it. But
okay, I'll trust you, bestie.
Okay, great. I'm going to let you call it. And do you want heads or tails?
Heads.
Okay, so that makes me tails. I'm going to press this little flip again thing on Google/coin flip or whatever I'm on. And here we go. 3, 2, 1, flip. Oh, and it's heads.
It's heads, so I get to go first.
You have the first pick in our first ever Harry Styles setlist draft.
Okay. All right, my first pick is Canyon Moon.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Your first pick is... Listeners, If you don't come to this episode with the knowledge of our previous episodes, please know that Canyon Moon is like the one Harry song that I claim. It's what my Twitter at is from.
I told you. I said I'm going to destroy you. So
yeah, you really came out swinging there.
I did.
Wow, that hurts. I just feel like you really went low for your first pick.
I just felt like I needed to set the tone off strong. Because you were telling me before this, you were like, I'm very competitive. And I'm like, well, if Key's bringing this energy, then I need to just, like, I need to make, you know, my masculinity that's so viral known right away. Yeah. So what's your pick?
All right, my first pick, I'm going strong. Coming out the gate, I'm picking Sign of the Times.
Oh, fuck you!
Fuck me! You picked, like, my only Harry song that I claim as your first pick. And Sign of the Times is, like, an obvious pick. Like, obviously that should be in your set list. So I gotta go with Sign of the Times.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Ironically, I think you do like the song more than me. It's like, so we really flip-flopped here on our first picks.
We really established a tone. Now I have to figure out, there's no replacement for Sign of the Times on the HS1. Ah, fuck. Fuck you.
That was the clear first pick. Okay. Everybody needs Sign of the Times on their set list. It's Harry's signature song.
Fuck you. We're really winning our explicit just over the stupidest shit. Okay. All right. So I guess I have to cross that off. Okay. So you can't have it. I'm going to take Kiwi now. So... we've split up Sign of the Times and Kiwi. I hope that you're happy.
That's a smart pick. That was on my list, too. So there is, like, so there's an element of strategy to this, obviously. You want to keep in mind what you think the other person's going to pick. Mm-hmm. Save the picks that are just yours that the other person doesn't want for last. Things like that. So we're keeping it all in our heads. All right. I'm kind of vamping so I can figure out what I want to do next. Mm-hmm. So you've got Canyon Moon and Kiwi. Yeah. Strong. All right. Because you picked... Kiwi, which is the staple of the encore, I'm gonna have to pick the other staple of the encore and go with, in the One Direction covers category, What Makes You Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I anticipated that you would take that.
Yep.
So we've got rid of that staple. I have Kiwi. Okay, so I'm gonna pick TPWK because definitely need flag waving.
All right, that was on my short list of things that I wanted, but I did anticipate that you would pick that. Mm-hmm. And unlike you, I didn't come into this draft and pick the one song that you claimed as yours as my first pick. So that was not my first move. Okay, let's see. So you have Treat People With Kindness. I'm going to go with Fine Line as my next pick.
That's fair. I didn't have that on mine because I anticipated that you would take it.
Yeah, one of my, probably my favorite Harry song. I think the best Harry song and the ultimate closer before the encore. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than that. So that's my rationale for that pick.
Okay. For unreleased, I feel like since What Makes You Beautiful is not an encore, I feel like a strong encore would be Medicine. So I'm going to throw Medicine in the encore.
I wanted that one too.
Well, it's mine now.
All right, speak on it.
Oh, I just feel like it would be a really good, like, I don't know. It seems to have really good, like, amped energy. And everybody, I feel like also everybody would be, like, chanting during the set. Like, sing Medicine. And then obviously he comes back out. He's like, who wants to hear more? And then, you know, he jams into it. And everybody's like, oh my God, you know.
It's true. This is, like, kind of brutal because you have a lot of the gay songs, which I feel not good about. And I feel like I need to gay up my... list.
Yeah, stop having the hetero set list.
The hetero set list of What Makes You Beautiful and Sign of the Times and Fine Line. The realest the heterosexual list of songs. So
what's the problem with bisexuality? Always the half straight with us.
To be clear, listeners, we are kidding. And we are both bisexual ourselves. I think in the spirit of the gay, I'm gonna have to draft Lights Up as my next pick.
Okay. Yeah, I also anticipated that. Cool. All right. Just so you don't feel so bad, I'm going to start drafting some heterosexuality. So I would like, for one of my 1D covers, I would like to draft Olivia.
Yep. Okay. I saw that coming a mile away. And I'm glad you got that song. And I would love to go to that concert of yours and hear him do that song. All right. Then I think for my next pick, I'm going to do Adore You.
Ah, fuck off. Okay.
You gotta get, I feel like a lot of my, I've got some slow songs in there. I've got two iconic Harry Styles ballads, so I feel like I gotta get in, like, a good pop song that's gonna keep the energy up. Adore You, one of the best Harry songs.
Yeah, true. Okay, then if you're taking Adore You, I think I'll take, Oh, this is a tough decision. Okay, I think that I'm just gonna take Watermelon Sugar so you can't have it.
That's fine with me. I'm fine with that. I feel like Watermelon Sugar and Adore You should be split up because those two songs in one set list together, like, that would stack one of our set lists too much with, like, too much of the good pop bangers that Harry has. So I feel like it almost makes sense that those two are broken up.
I just have a horny set list. Okay, so what's your next pick?
For my next pick, we're really going for the Fine Line songs here. I'm going to go with Golden for my next pick. You need an opener. I feel like that's a really good opener.
It is, yeah.
That's the way I'm going to go with this. Golden's a great song. Love that music video. We're really cranking through these Fine Line ones because Fine Line is superior. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to be going with.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll just run down Fine Line. So I'm going to pick Sunflower as one of mine. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like on the Real Love on tour, he's probably not going to sing it, but I just really like it. It's just nice.
Oh, it's great. And I can't believe, I'm so hurt that you took Canyon Moon for me. I feel like they're kind of a piece, and so those two together are going to be really good, and that hurts me because I love them both. But yeah, so we each have picked four songs so far from Fine Line. So that leaves one song left for each of us. So I'm going to take a little trip away from that category, and I am going to draft, let me see, what do I want here? All the ones that I set out is my top picks I've already picked. So that element of my strategy is kind of done. So we're kind of hopping around here. So I think I'm going to pick The Chain.
Okay.
For the first of my non-1D covers category.
Okay. I would like to pick for my non-1D covers Girl Crush.
You're really beating me out with these gay songs.
I know.
Yeah, I went in trying to decide if I wanted that one or The Chain. And
The Chain is a strong choice. I, you know, been seeing a lot of covers of The Chain, and The Chain fucks. Like,
yeah, it's really good. It's like, you can tell Harry's, like, really passionate about it when he sings it. It's gonna bring the energy. It's gonna bring that vibe.
And it's not a gay song.
I don't know if I know. Like, I know The Chain, but I don't know if I had a queer interpretation of it. So
I mean, it doesn't like specify the gender of the person in the song. So, like, it's neither a gay nor a straight song. It's just about people.
Wow, that truly is the most Harry Styles of it all, then. like we said on our Lights episode, can't we all just vibe?
Just vibe.
All right, so. Yes, so that leaves us with, so let's do a little catch up on where we are with the categories, because we're probably maybe halfway through it right now or a little bit farther. So far I have What Makes You Beautiful, The Chain, Sign of the Times, Golden, Adore You, Lights Up, and Fine Line. So that leaves me with one 1D cover left, two non-1D covers, three HS1 songs, one Fine Line song, and all three of my unreleased songs left. So catch me up on where you're at.
And I have Olivia, Girl Crush, Kiwi, Watermelon Sugar, Treat People With Kindness, Sunflower, Canyon Moon, and Medicine. So I have one 1D cover, two non-1D covers, three HS1 songs, one Fine Line song, and two unreleased songs left.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Yeah, so it's my pick. Let's see. I'm going to take off of HS1 Ever Since New York.
Oh, fuck you. Okay. All right.
It's funny. We haven't talked about HS1 once, and we haven't talked about HS1 really yet in an in-depth way on this podcast, and that will be coming soon as a little preview of some things we might be talking about in this podcast in the future, but Ever Since New York is one of my favorite Harry songs. It's definitely one of my top songs off of HS1, so that is my next pick.
From HS1, all right, I'll pick Woman, because I actually think that song fucks.
Okay, Okay, strong pick. Love that concert moment where he picks up the rubber chicken and makes the quacking noise along with the song.
It wasn't on my initial list, but it's been on my mind a lot lately. And I mean, I have made out with somebody to the song. It was hot, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bringing that personal experience into
bringing
the draft.
Bringing the personal experience.
Bringing that emotionality. Will that come back to haunt you? We'll have to see.
I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I'm an adult. Sometimes I also fuck. So, okay. So is it your turn?
It is my pick indeed. Okay. So I'm going to take from HS1 Two Ghosts.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if this is a controversial pick. I feel like the fandom is kind of divided on Two Ghosts. I really like Two Ghosts, mm-hmm. especially live, and I would like to hear it on my set list.
I love that. On HS1, I'll take From the Dining Table.
Okay. Anything you'd like to say about it as a pick?
No, I just like that song.
It is a good song.
Nice. Yeah.
Let's see where I'm at here. I think, I'm trying to decide, there's like, with the unreleased songs, it's like, do you pick multiple of the really unreleased, like the ones we haven't heard at all? It's like kind of risky. I do really like Anna as a song. Do I go with my head or my heart? Do I go with what I think the listeners would prefer or my ideal set list?
No, do your ideal set list.
I think I'm gonna go with To Be So Lonely.
Okay.
For my last pick off of Fine Line.
All right, and then I'll pick, let's see, What's Not Taken. Can you tell me what's not taken? I'm dumb.
Yeah, so okay. The Fine Line songs not taken are Cherry, Falling, and She.
Oh, She's not taken. I almost forgot about She because we were recording late. Okay, yeah, that one's mine.
Yeah, I kind of thought that you were going to claim that. Those were the ones I was trying to decide between. I really like She as a song, but I just love To Be So Lonely. I love The Mitch of It All, although The Mitch of It All for both those songs. But
To Be So Lonely is great. It was actually on my initial list. I kind of forgot She existed for a second. it's
how could you truly?
Listeners, it's late and sometimes my brain is gone. Okay.
Okay, so Fine Line as a category is
it's
locked.
Gone.
We've both picked our five songs from Fine Line. The two that are left on the table are Cherry and Falling. Sorry, those two you're not going to hear in concert if you go to either of these shows. I feel like that makes sense.
I think so. This makes sense of like what we've grabbed. Yeah.
Yeah, Cherry, I love. Love, love, love is a song, but I feel like live at a concert, it's not totally the vibe. Like, it's a great song to just, like, put your headphones on and, like, listen to in the dark, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure if it's, like, the live concert vibe. And Falling, I just, like, don't love as a song, so that's why it's left off my list. I do feel like it would be good live. I feel like it would be a good live ballad, but I feel like I already have enough kind of slower ballady type songs on my set list, so.
All right, so is it your turn?
Yep, it's my pick. So I have one song left off of HS1. I think in the non-1D covers category, I'm going to take Sledgehammer.
Okay.
I love that cover. I love all the old people that were converted into Harry fans from seeing that cover. I feel like every couple weeks, like, some verified person on Twitter that's, like, over the age of 60, like, tweets out that they were converted to
nice
being Harry Styles
man.
Fan because of that cover, so...
Yeah.
We're repping the older demographic with this pick.
For 1D covers, I'm going to pick Night Changes.
Okay.
My explanation for that is I really want Harry to sing Night Changes. I'm obsessed with him singing
A deep
Night
logic
Changes.
Behind that choice.
Okay. Yeah, listen, I you know, you and I have had many a conversation where I'm like, oh my God, like, I just want him to sing Night Changes and he's not going to, but in my imagination, he is.
Yeah, that's fair. And I feel like it would be a nice, like if he's saying Night Changes, it's, like, kind of poetic, like, you know, it's like a song about change, it's a song from One Direction that he'd be singing as a solo artist. I feel like it could be a nice concert moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm making your argument for you here. I should be saying, that's a terrible pick, that's awful.
Terrible.
Who in their right mind would want to choose Night Changes and listen to that at a live show?
Nobody would ever want to listen to it.
It's true. okay, so where am I at? Yeah, I think for my last HS1 pick, I'm going to go with... Now I'm trying to, like, play the songs in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to go with Carolina.
Okay.
Which I feel like isn't a popular pick. Like, I feel like most people would pick Only Angel. And I apologize to our listeners, I guess, if you feel weird things about that. I feel like when Carolina was on his set for that one show that he was supposed to do that didn't end up happening, people were like, why is Carolina there? And I get that. There are, like, I have some issues, too, with Carolina that we will get to when we discuss HS1 on this podcast eventually. But I love the music behind that song. I just think the backing track of that song is great. I love, like, I love listening to that aspect of it. So I'm going to have to draft Carolina into my set list.
I've been running into the live version of Meet Me in the Hallway a lot recently, and it's so pretty. So that was actually on my list for HS1.
All right, so you're going to Meet Me in the Hallway?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that closes out HS1 as a category for us. We each have four songs. I have Sign of the Times, Carolina, Two Ghosts, Ever Since New York. You have Meet Me in the Hallway, Kiwi, Woman, and From the Dining Table. Mm-hmm. So you have the closer and the opener. That's kind of interesting. And yeah, so the two songs we're leaving on the table are Only Angel, which I feel like we might get some flack for, and Sweet Creature.
Which I actually really like Only Angel, but I think partly, like, it's part of his flag-waving set so often that I think I'm, like, a little sick of it right now. Because I've been
listening. That's fair, that's fair.
I've been listening to excerpts from Only Angel for 5 days straight. So
yeah, I'm kind of regretting not picking it. I kind of feel like I should have picked that over Carolina, but it's done now.
No, Carolina's great. I mean, oh, no. Ooh, Carolina's bad. It's a bad, bad set.
I gotta manufacture this controversy. All right, so you just picked Meet Me in the Hallway, right? So
yeah.
That means that my pick is up, and we're getting down to the wire here, and I think I'm gonna go with, yeah, why not? I'll pick Anna.
Okay.
In unreleased songs. I really, really like Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Just
and Anna
musically,
is gay. It has a George Michael sample in it.
Oh yeah,
which
it has that George Michael sample in it, which I love. Yeah, I guess this is our time to talk about these songs, because I don't think we have on this podcast before. Medicine and Anna, I both think are great songs. I think I prefer them to some of the songs on HS1. And so, yeah, I wish kind of that they had made the cut of the album. I understand why they didn't, but I love Anna. I love the sample on that song. There's this, like, video clip that gets passed around a lot with Anna where Harry's, like, strumming the guitar on, like, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Which I just love, and is a great clip, and is very fun in concert. So,
fuck him.
I'm kind of crushed that I didn't get Medicine, but I will take Anna and be happy about it.
Anna's good. I think that Anna might be a structurally better song than Medicine, but I like both for different reasons.
Mm, yeah. I think I do like the sound of Anna more, and obviously, yeah. Like,
Medicine's
like,
energy is
super special
just so
and
good.
Important.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. Your pick is up.
So, can I be chaotic and share my wild card?
Sure.
So, for my non-1D covers, I'm going to select What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones as one of my covers. Here's my thing. My friend said this to me once, because we were talking about things that Harry Styles should cover, and, like, I have a lot of, like, very serious things. Like, I would really like him to cover, like, some Beach Boys songs, especially sometime. I just think that would be so fun. But my friend was like,
that's a great idea.
He should cover What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones. And there's just, like, I just picture Harry with this enormous, like, shit-eating grin going, pussycat, pussycat, I love you. And I hate him so much for it, but I also love him so much for it. And I just feel like it would be the perfect, oh, I just want to kill you, but I love you so much. So, yeah. So, What's New Pussycat, that curse is on my set.
Wow. Love that for you.
Yeah.
And that's a very you pick. That's a very, I guess our personalities might come out with these wild cards. And, yeah, that pick checks out to me.
What's your wild card? Do you want to pick it?
I do not, because I think strategy-wise, it just makes sense to leave that for last, because there's no way you could take that from me. Although, most of the ones, we're kind of down to a point here where our taste, like, all the ones our taste is in common, we've kind of picked already, so we're kind of, our tastes are diverged at this point in the draft. I was really hoping I'd get Canyon Moon, so I'm still very crushed that I didn't get it. And
I really hurt you with that one.
You really did. So I think I'm going to take, well, yeah, see, there's not really, I guess we're kind of to a point where there's not really strategy here. So, well, I guess there's one, and maybe this was like never in your head as something to pick. So maybe I'm just like psyching myself out, but I'm going to protect this one because this is one that I really want, which is an unreleased song that we have never heard before, which is A Modern Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that you know, there's that picture from the album booklet for Fine Line with, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of post-its on a board that are, like, names of unreleased songs. And I just, like, was drawn to that one. I feel like Harry, you know, with songs like Sign of the Times, he has this, like, tendency or this desire, I think, to, like, make sweeping, like, you know, all-encompassing, like, big songs that mean a lot. And with Sign of the Times, I almost feel like it came out too early in Harry's career. Like, it's mm-hmm. such, like, a song to open your career with. It's, like, very daring, but at the same time, I'm like, for such a young artist, for his first song, it's, like, such a big statement. So in that ways, it's good, but also it's, like, I don't know, maybe release this 10 years into your career, but...
I know. It's funny, because it's followed right after with Carolina. So you just have, and this is the state of politics in the world today, and I am very afraid, and then you just go, oh, yeah, and she's a good girl, she felt so good, and it's like, oh, this is what I remember being 22 was like.
I picked Carolina, don't make me regret it, and I have both those songs, so that duality is within my set list.
I love the duality.
But yeah, so I picked A Modern Life because I just feel like, I'm like, what does Harry have to say about A Modern Life? Like, I just want to know. Like, I'm very curious what that song could be about. It sounds like it could be one of those big, like, Sign of the Times or Fine Line kind of songs where there's just, like, a lot in there. So I really wanted that, so I'm going to take that for my second unreleased song.
Okay. So I'm going to take from my non-1D covers, Big Yellow Taxi.
Okay, yep. That was on my list as well.
Sorry, good bestie. Pick. I mean, sorry, worstie.
That's a good cover. I love the laugh.
It is. Hey, farmer, farmer. Yeah.
All right. So what do we have left? I have one unreleased song left. I have my wild card left, and I have one One Direction song. So I will take my One Direction cover. Now, I'm tempted here to go Steal My Girl, even though I know that people would crucify me for it, because I just love that song, as you will know from our One Direction episode.
Just follow your heart.
I know that the lyrics are, like, not great, but it's just such a fun song, and I do feel like it'd be fun live, but I don't think it'd be, like, it's not what I would want him to, like, cover in an actual show. So instead, I'm going to go with Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Here, mm-hmm. which is on brand for me as well, because it's one of my, I think it's my favorite Harry song from One Direction, which I know that you don't agree with, but it is mine, so I'm gonna go strong and I'm gonna go Perfect.
All right, so for my unreleased songs, I'm gonna pick Anne. Okay. I just think that would be very sweet.
It would be sweet.
It seems like it's about his mom.
I'm curious, like, I wonder if he played it for her, like, you know, I wonder if he was like, you know, I'm not going to put it on the album, but I wonder if Anne, it's a special song just for Anne that she's heard. I feel like that's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, curious what that one would sound like as well. So that leaves one unreleased song for both of us. Yeah, and my wild card. So I think for my last unreleased song, I'm going to go with Isabella.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this, but when these unreleased songs, like, first were a thing and this picture came out with the post-its, there was, like, a lot of talk about Isabella, and apparently somebody involved in making the album, like, posted on Instagram that Isabella was really good or something, and I can't remember if I imagined that, if that was, like, a troll and just a fan said that, or, like, what's been happening there, but it's lived rent-free in my brain since that happened.
Interesting.
So I just feel like that song is a good song, so that's what I'm going with.
I pick You're So American. I just feel like it seems fun.
That's a really good title of a song. I feel like some of that pettiness might come out in that song.
Yeah, I feel like his very, like, his, like, Britishness would come out in the song. And it's like the inverse of Taylor's, like, London Boy song, you know? I mean, like, I don't think it's about Haler. She just has, like, she has that, literally, she just released a song called London Boy, like, 2 years ago, and it's like,
yep.
You know, I love a London boy, I enjoyed whatever in the afternoon, and it's just I just find that kind of really charming. Another of my favorite songs is by The Main, and it's called English Girls, and I always kind of love, I don't know, I kind of love that kind of song where somebody from one country is falling in love with somebody from, you know, another. I just think it's really fun. Okay, and then what's your wild card?
Is that the last pick of the draft?
I think so.
All right, we're on the last pick of the draft. So I have, like, a list of songs here, and they're too long, and I wish I had stopped writing them down because now I have a decision to make. I toyed with the idea of doing Changes by Cam. I really like that song, and I think it'd be interesting to hear it and to hear that kind of country tone from him. Mm-hmm. I also have just, like, fun, like, Gimme, 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 Man After Midnight by ABBA would be so much fun. When you said Beach Boys, I was like, God, if he did a God Only Knows cover live. I have Case of You by Joni Mitchell on here. I'm going to go with A Case of You by Joni Mitchell as my wild card.
Okay.
You had Joni Mitchell as one of your covers for the Big Yellow Taxi, so that way we each get Joni Mitchell in our sets. And yeah, I think that makes for a good set. Okay, so yeah, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a second, and for you, it probably won't be any time at all because I will just cut the time that we take, but we're going to put our songs in order, and then we will come back with a set list of songs for you to hear. So we will do that right now. Okay, so yeah, so we're coming back from our break that was, that should have been briefer than it was, but who knew that coming up with a set list was hard? So I'm not completely satisfied with my final result. I should be lying and saying that I feel amazing about it and I'm going to crush you and it's great. And I do feel great about certain aspects of it, but yeah. So Gray, why don't you read first and go through your set list from opener to closer?
And I'll give my little explanations. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of decided to open up this show with Watermelon Sugar since he took Golden. I feel like that I needed to have that strong opener. With my number two is You're So American as an unreleased, because I felt that sounded, it just sounded fun. And then for my third pick, I kind of decided to wind down the energy with Meet Me in the Hallway.
Yep.
I just really like, you know, it has a good third song vibe, I think. If I had like a slightly different set, maybe I would have put it later in the set, but I felt like that was a good space for right now. Number four is Girl Crush. I felt like that would kind of be, I don't know, it's very different from Meet Me in the Hallway, but it still has kind of that slow vibe. And then when you get back to, I put number five as Woman. I don't know, I put Woman between Girl Crush and Anne because I thought that was very funny to me. It just has like a similar, it's cute. And then after Anne, I decided it's True People with Kindness. That's song seven, so the audience is very warmed up now, and they've had the fast song and the slow song. They've had some sort of sexy songs, and now it's time to get pretty gay about it. So my idea for the middle of the show is during True People with Kindness, Harry gets excited. He, you know, waves flags, and then he keeps the flags on the stage. He puts them in his little, usually has like a platform that Sarah's drums are sitting on. So he puts the flags that he steals on Sarah's drum platform. He gets back up to the mic. He sings Sunflower. He gets cute with it. And then they slide into She. You can see I have detailed images in my head in the middle of the set. They slide into She. I love this. They get really into it. And maybe for some of She, Harry maybe even has an acoustic guitar. But then when Mitch's guitar solo comes, Harry takes off his guitar and he picks up the flags again.
And wow, this is really specific.
Yeah, he waves. I've been watching a lot of these flag videos. He waves the flags and then he throws them back out at the audience, right? So we've got the audience super jazzed through the She guitar solo. Then the lights will come up more. And we'll slide into Big Yellow Taxi. I just feel like that's kind of like jaunty, but you know, it's not like super high key.
Yep.
And then you put From the Dining Table, which is kind of low key. And then What's New Pussycat is a very intense song. And I was just like, ah, fuck it. Put it here. And then I feel like we'll get a moment and Harry will joke around with the audience and stuff to get them quiet. And then we'll slide back down into, oh, it's song 13. It's almost the end. Let's slide into Night Changes. And just, I feel like we'll get some real water work sliding into Night Changes. And then after Night Changes, for the closer pre-encore, we slide right into Canyon Moon. I'm going home, I'm going home. And he's like, thank you, good night. And now we introduce you to the band. So everybody in the audience is obviously crying because we're all thinking, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And then they start the encore and then Harry cracks his neck. And everybody's cheering. He starts it, here to take my medicine, here to take my medicine. Obviously, everybody loses their fucking minds.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
so I mean, that'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible. Okay, so then after he finishes medicine, he's just excited. The lighting comes up a little bit, and then he slides into Olivia. Obviously, he has people who can play horns with him. He sings like a great rendition of Olivia, and everybody's jazzed, and it's super fun, and we're like, oh my god, this is so great. Superior to What Makes You Beautiful in every way. And then and then he finishes with Kiwi, and it's great. And then he's like, goodbye, everybody. Thank you for your money. So long.
Wow. Well, I would never go to that show, and
never.
If that happened, I would be like, this set list
it's
is
terrible.
Not good enough for me. It doesn't have Sign of the Times on it. Why isn't he playing the hits? So I feel like you need some stuff on there that you don't got, but okay. I gotta seed that your encore is pretty rockin'.
I know. Thank you. Okay, yeah. So what is your set list?
All right, so here we go. This was tough. I took too long making this up. I do not, unlike Gray, have experience making playlists like this, so it took me a little longer. I also made the fatal mistake of not picking Kiwi, which I feel like is kind of put me into a crisis. I'm curious to see if Kiwi will be his closer for like his entire career forever, because it's just like the thing that he does now.
It's just so good.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just, you know, It's a good closer. I was searching in my set list for something to end on, and we shall see when we get there what I ended on. But you know, I'm not so confident about it. I'm trying to think right now if I should just completely, like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make a last minute change. All right. Okay. So my concert's gonna start out. People are gonna walk in, and it's gonna be
okay.
Golden. The classic opener. You know he's going to do this as an opener. He opened, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the first song in the album, so he did that because he knew it was going to be a good opener. He said that. It's going to go into Lights Up, kind of a bit of a light motif going from Golden into Lights Up. And then Lights Up is kind of like, you start out with that upbeat song, then it lights up, you slow down a little bit, and then we're going to kind of go into the more mellow section with Ever Since New York. Then that's going to go into Case of You by Joni Mitchell, first cover in the set.
Okay.
I feel like those Ever Since New York and that song would go really well together. We're going to kind of keep this acoustic vibe going, and we're going to go into To Be So Lonely. Then we're going to go into Carolina, so we're back into the rockier, higher tempo section.
Getting
now here
again.
I have A Modern Life, which I can't really explain why, because mm-hmm. we haven't heard the song, but I feel like maybe this would be a good place for one of those more existential songs. And then we're going to lead into the duology of Two Ghosts and Perfect, which have a certain thing in common that I feel like makes them nice songs to pair with each other. And then we're going to go into Isabella, which I just feel from the vibe and absolutely no evidence at all is like a higher tempo kind of a song. So that we're going to go into that. Then that's going to take us to Sledgehammer. This is going to be a dancey section of the set. Then we're going to go into Anna, which is another up-tempo fun song. We're going to go into Adore You. So there's like a lot of bangers at the end of the set. And then Adore You is going to lead us back into the Fine Line album kind of zone, where we're going to end the set, this first set anyway, with Fine Line is going to be the closer. So I feel confident about that, feel good about that set. I feel like Fine Line's the perfect closer. Literally can't do better than that. Then we're going to go into our encore. We're going to start with, this was the last minute change I made, we're going to start with What Makes You Beautiful. So he's going to come out. He's going to rock the audience with What Makes You Beautiful. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to start out there. We're going to go to The Chain. So another up-tempo song. Then, for a twist, we'll see how this plays with the listeners. We're going to end on final song of the concert, Sign of the Times.
See, I saw him end on Sign of the Times a few times. He doesn't always end on Kiwi. He sometimes ends on Sign of the Times.
Here you go, kids.
Yeah.
You just heard Gray confirm that I am taking cues from the master, Harry Styles himself here. So we're going to end with something that he chose himself, Sign of the Times, as the closer. Everybody's waiting for it the whole night.
I have
That's
a question for you. So in his live on tour concert, obviously he waved flags all sorts of times. He concentrated a lot of them in Only Angel in the first part of the tour. I actually haven't transitioned into the 2018 tour. I do think he changed some things around. And so I've heard that he started concentrating the Waving Moor in Sign of the Times and
What Makes You Beautiful,
and What Makes You Beautiful, which are both songs that you have. So I'm curious if you, since you're putting both Sign of the Times and What Makes You Beautiful in the encore, because I obviously, like, I don't have the right answer to this. Would you want to save that segment of the show for the encore? Do you think that he would have other songs within, like, the main set of songs that you could find him, wanting to bring that part of the show to, you know, to change it up every night? Because obviously I had, like, my little story about Sunflower and She and TPWK, but I also could see other parts of my set where he could, you know, sporadically put some stuff in. Yeah. So where do you think his different parts of little quirks of the show, like, where do you think he would do the whale and stuff?
It's a good question. So Treat People with Kindness, you know, I gotta say, not to make your argument for you, that is the classic flag waving song. I feel like that's the great flag waving song. So I feel like I gotta, you know, another similar kind of up tempo song, go with What Makes You Beautiful. He's done it before. We had that really fun moment at the Boston show where those people were dressed in rainbow and they jumped on stage and they all danced together to What Makes You Beautiful. I feel like that could be really fun. So one fun flag waving moment would be What Makes You Beautiful. I feel like in the earlier section of the show, you could maybe get some stuff maybe in Lights Up, because that's definitely, like, the themes of that fit that vibe. But then also that's early. That's, like, really early in the concert. So I'm thinking maybe I'm just going to decide that A Modern Life is a really gay song and we're just going to wave rainbow flags during A Modern Life.
I love that. Yes. Oh, my God. What if it's, like, a kind of, like, a slow one? And it's, like, there's different kinds of flag waving in Harry Styles concerts. So you could have, you know, the fun one is, like, What Makes You Beautiful. And then in A Modern Life, you get, like, very solemn flag waving, you know?
Yeah, it's true. All right. I'm realizing that I have a lot of songs that are people's names in my set list. So that's kind of an interesting quirk. All right. How are you feeling to end this draft? That's where we ended up. We each have our set lists. We each have them ordered. How are you feeling about your Harry Styles concert that you've made?
I feel good about it. I wish that I had Adore You and Sign of the Times.
Adore You and Sign of the Times are two king shit songs. I will say that.
But I don't regret taking Canyon Moon first. I think that it... I feel like... here's the thing. I feel
that
like...
That hurts. It cuts deep,
I know,
still.
I feel like he's not going to do Canyon Moon as the closer in his regular show, which is really sad to me because I feel like I would cry 7,000 tears.
Yeah. I would cry too.
Just to hear him say, "I'll be gone too long from you," I wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't know what I'd do. So, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But it could. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe quarantine has scrambled his brains a little bit. And
I'm pulling for it. I'm pulling for Canyon Moon to be in the set so hard.
Yeah, Harry, be insane.
Here's now.
On.
Put it in the set. I don't have it in my set. And even though I think my set is amazing and I would love to go to this concert, I'm pulling for it. I'm pulling for Canyon Moon to be in the set.
Come on, bestie. Okay. So, listeners, in a few days, you can vote on who had the best set. This was really fun for us to play.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
Yeah, I hope that it was fun for you guys to listen to. Key, did you learn anything about yourself from playing this game with me? Did you learn anything about me that surprised
you? I learned that I shouldn't have trash talked you and said that I was super competitive because, I don't know, I feel like maybe you wouldn't have snatched Canyon Moon out of my arms like that, but maybe you still would have. So let's just say you picked Canyon Moon first. Harry Karma is a force in the world, and it just might come and get you because you made that decision.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But, yes, I really liked doing this, too. I think it was really fun. I really liked the draft as an idea. So if you guys have any of your ideas for, like, Harry-related drafts we could do, the one idea that I kind of thought of that we could do was, like, outfits, so we could do different categories of, like, tour outfits and performance looks and stuff like that. But if you have another idea for, like, a Harry-related thing we could do, I'd love to hear it, and then maybe we can do that in a future episode.
Yeah, we're really open to a lot of things. Like, the one that Key originally pitched for this was outfits, and then I was walking home drunk from a outside showing of Casablanca, and I texted Key. I was like, no, we should do fine line sets. I didn't even really know what a draft was. It just seemed like we were competing in something, and I wanted to have some input. So the entire of everything is Key's idea, except for the the set, which is my idea.
And the concept, which I stole, thank you to the Big Picture podcast from The Ringer, which is where this is from. But yeah, I think we had a really good time. I had a good time drafting the set list. I did learn about myself that I chose Carolina, I guess. So that's something I learned about myself. And yeah, had a good time. Yeah. Tell us what you thought about it. I'm sure we'd be curious to hear, and we definitely want your suggestions for any song, any ones that we could do in the future. And let us know if you make your, if you do this with anybody, I don't know, if you have like a hairy friend you want to do this with, make ones, alternate, make your sets and send us your sets. I'm curious to see what your first picks would be. Tell us, you could let us know what your first picks would be, like all that stuff. If we made a colossal strategy mistake, all of that stuff, you could let us know. All
right. So I think we're going to take us out of here. I know that we typically have a section called Must Get Rid of Toxic in Community here. We're currently evaluating whether or not we want to keep the section, mostly because there's just a lot of negativity on the internet, and I'm not 100% sure if we are taking away from it or contributing to it, and I don't know if it's very healthy for me to look at it. So, I mean, you guys can let us know what you think about whether or not you approve that decision, but that's why it's not here tonight. So we're going to instead just kind of transition into talking about what's going on with us in non-Harry life. So are you looking forward to anything? Do you have any recommendations, Keith?
Yeah, so like I talked about in the last episode, I've kind of been in an MCU kick against my own better judgment, so I've been doing a rewatch. So from that rewatch, my three MCU faves up and at this moment in the rewatch, I have a few movies left, but I'm almost done. So you know, I don't know if I'd say you can watch these without having seen the others, but who am I kidding? Most of you have seen enough to know. So Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, and Captain America the Winter Soldier are definitely my top three Marvel ventures. I guess probably solo movies, but so I've had a fun time rewatching those. Just really like all three of those movies, and I just thought I'd say that here because the MCU rewatch has been taking up a lot of my nights. And then just movies generally, I was catching up on some of the Oscar movies. I did watch Nomadland, and I thought it was really good. So, of course, it doesn't need my endorsement. It just won Best Picture. But if you need one more person to tell you to watch it and just be that one person that pushes you over the edge, it's on Hulu. So if you have that service, you can watch it. And, yeah, recently I also watched The Talented Mr. Ripley, which Gray and I talked about at length,
is a really good movie. We both recently watched The Talented Mr. Ripley, and Keith thinks that I'm a serial killer now.
I really don't, but now that you chose Canyon Moon out at the front of the show for me, I feel like maybe you're back in the I'm worried about you zone, because that was harsh. That was cool.
It was harsh.
Yeah, but so that all those movies, and then I'd say, you know, this podcast, I've been talking about The Big Picture, which is like a movie and movie news, movie criticism podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I really enjoy that podcast, and just in the run up to the Oscars, I've been listening to a lot of those episodes. So if you're looking for movie coverage, that's a good podcast to check out as well. So yeah, those are my non-Harry related recommendations. What about you?
So yesterday I went out with my best friend, and we went to have dinner and a movie for the first time in over a year, and it was wonderful. Wow. So we went to go see an outside showing of Casablanca, which I'd only seen in passing, like half watching a few years ago, and which is like a much gayer movie than one would think. I don't know. Have you seen it, Key?
Yeah, I actually have plugged it as my recommendation at the end of this podcast before, but I don't remember it being a gay movie, so elaborate.
Well, at the end, so the one officer guy, he's always going off about how the main character, how they equally have, like, no scruples, and there's just so much, like, for Captain, I think Captain Renault, his name, there's so many comments about how he's just, like, up for anything, and then there's, like, the main character, he notes, he says, "You've never loved a woman before." Like, there's so much, like, bisexual energy, you know? Like, there's just...
I don't know if we want the bisexual representation of the policeman that is having sex with women and blackmailing them.
Listen.
I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's the bisexual representation we want. That's not the vibe I got. I didn't interpret those lines that way, but I guess... I can't step on your interpretation.
Wow. Well, I didn't say he was the only bisexual in the movie. I said that the main character is also bisexual.
Well, that is a fan fiction that I would read.
Yeah, and they
not with Captain Renault, let me clarify.
They say this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship at the end of the movie.
One of the most iconic lines of all time.
Yeah, and that, it's a very gay line of them. So I'm just saying, sometimes bisexuals are bad people too, you know?
Wow.
Open your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I will say my experience of watching Casablanca was largely me watching it and being like, that's what this line is from? Like, every fifth line mm-hmm. in Casablanca is, like, one of the most iconic film lines of all time. Mm-hmm. And I was just shocked by that. Like, I knew that certain lines were from it, but then you watch and it's, like, it's so iconic as to have mm-hmm. been parodied so much that, like, people don't even know where it's from. And then you watch that movie and it's, like, oh,
it's
my God,
here.
Like, this movie has, like, 50 lines that are, like, some of the top movie lines of all time. So, yeah, great movie.
I thought it was great. I was very emotional at the end. Yeah, it was just a really good movie. And I always try to look out for, like, who might be gay in a movie. That's one of my tasks when I watch any movie. It's very important to know which person in a movie might be gay. And, yeah, other than that, my life has just been swallowed by these Pride flag videos, man. I just spent so much time doing that, and I will continue to, most likely. Yeah, this weekend, we wanted to get in recording this on a Thursday because I'm seeing my family for the first time in over a year this weekend, so we're making all sorts of milestones. So I'm really excited for that, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, so Key, do you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, so you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com on Twitter and Tumblr. We can be found at Harry Styles Pod. You can follow us there, DM us there if you have any suggestions or, yeah, anything you want to say. Let us know what you think of the show. So one way you could do that is also by rating and reviewing our podcast in Apple Podcasts. We'd so appreciate it if you took a second and you gave us a rating if you enjoyed it.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Louder. Louder.